Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon, good evening, whatever time zone you happen to be. Thank you so much for being here. I see people already in the chat on Facebook. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Lucinda. And we are also live in the Blog Talk Radio studio. So I was delayed this morning because my computer decided that it needed to update the operating system. And it took a while to do that. So it usually updates in the middle of the night. I don't know why it decided to update in the middle of the morning. But so I'm going to have to go in and check my settings on that. I'm so excited to be here with you guys live. And for all of those who watch the replay on Facebook or who listen to the recording on Blog Talk Radio Studio or who download it or who listen to it on podcast. I so appreciate you guys for taking out the time in your busy day, in your busy schedule wherever, whenever you listen. I really appreciate you. And, you know, without you guys, there's kind of no point of me being here. All right? Really. So thank you all. And I would just wanted to let you know that the music that you are listening to as you are waiting for me to start doing my morning thing, it was Errol Star Francis, and You Are the One You Have Been Waiting For. You can download that on iTunes, and I listen to that song every single day, multiple times a day. The first thing I do when I get in the car is say, "Hey Siri, play Errol Star Francis." And oh my God, so I'm cracking up because my phone is on my desk and it's saying, "Hey Siri, play Errol."
Sorry, I couldn't.
Play Errol Star Francis. You gotta love Siri. So I had to shut off Alexa because when I'm on the radio, Alexa thinks I'm talking to her also. And so both Siri and Alexa think I'm talking to them when I'm on the bathroom or when I'm on the bathroom. Oh, my God. So funny. A thing just came across my screen. And anyway, it's an apartment that I am helping rent out. And the words came across the screen that with the listing of the apartment. And I saw the word bathroom and it came right out. That's the hazard of being live, where those things happen. Okay, so I need to shut this phone off because people are blowing my phone up about this apartment. It's crazy. All right, sorry guys. Okay. All right. And I am going to go into airplane mode so this does not keep happening. Okay. All right, so let me go into airplane mode because, like I said, otherwise this phone will drive me crazy. Shut it off. And even if I just turn it on vibrate, which is what I did, I turned the ringer off, messages still come through and they come across my computer screen because my computer is linked to my phone. And anyway, it's the beauty of Apple that everything can be connected together, which makes it really convenient. But then at the same time, when you don't want to talk, you can't talk to people or whatever, you know, because you're tied up, then they somehow get in through anyway. So you have to go stealth on airplane mode. So I am stealth now. I thought nobody could bother me, but now people are still messaging me on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I wonder if there's a way to go on airplane mode on my computer. Let me see. Okay. There's got to be a way to do this. Oh, no. If I go on airplane mode on my computer, because I've tried that before, actually, then it cuts my live off because it thinks I want to have no internet connection. So I can't do that. All right. Anyway, so I'll just have to deal with it and try not to be too distracted. I've got like a million things posted on the Facebook Marketplace right now for sale, and I'm helping two friends. One rents an apartment and one liquidate her mother's estate, and neither one of them are on Facebook. They both have flip phones, and you know, I'm like, you guys need to get up to the 21st century, but I understand why they don't want to, and when, you know, things happen where there's messages coming across your screen all the time, and you're you know, trying to do a radio show or a Facebook Live or be on Be Live TV, it is so distracting. Anyway, and it's distracting anyway with having the phone. I find that, and most of you guys probably do this as well, because obviously if you're tuning in then you have internet access. So you're probably not on a flip phone. And how many of you guys check your phones first thing in the morning, maybe even before you get out of bed? And have it glued in your hand. So I will say I am guilty of that at times. And I know that it's oftentimes when I need a distraction, which sort of leads us into our topic today, and that is your secret life code. Because we come in with a secret life code, and it's only a secret until we discover it, right? Because then once you discover it, it's not a secret anymore. And I have, through years and years of study and work in the metaphysical world, and as a healer and as a psychic and an intuitive and a medium, I have come across this, or I have created this formula, and through the blessing of other people's individual work, and have now put this together. And it all started for me a long time ago. So I could use some tuning up on my vocal cords, which hopefully next year I'm going to be putting some music out with Errol Star Francis and a few other people. And that is going to be, it might be just one song, but it's going to be something that is going to be for the benefit of humanity. It's going to be a fundraising kind of thing anyway. We'd like to do a whole CD with enlightened intuitive musicians and people, but, you know, we'll see. We've all had so many things going on this year that we just couldn't get to it this year, so we're hoping to get to that next year. And so I need to start doing my vocal exercises again because it's been a long time since I have sung professionally. Anyway, okay. So, good morning, Stacy, and nice to see you here. Good morning, Dawn. People are starting to come on to the live. There are already people in the Blog Talk Radio studio on the phone line, and I will get to the phone lines a little bit later in the show. So, your secret life code, what is it? It is a combination of multiple things. It's a combination of your astrology chart, your birth chart. And if you don't know your birth chart, you can go on astro.com or you can go on, and that's probably actually the easiest one, Astro Cafe. You can also get it on. So you get a free birth chart. You need to know the time and the place and, of course, the date that you were born. And you can get a free chart. And your astrology chart gives you a ton of information about who you are, what your last lifetime looked like, and what sort of your mission is in this lifetime, what you set out to kind of accomplish in this lifetime. It also gives you the challenges that you can sort of expect to bump up against as well. The big things, you know, not the everyday mundane things, right? So the astrology chart is the map, and how you get from point A to point B is up to you, and that's where the archetypes come in. And every week, so I have created this system, and again, it's through understanding other people's work, like Rhys Thomas. And I graduated from the Rhys Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine with a double certification, and also Carolyn Mace's work. And actually, a lot of Rhys's work is based on Carolyn Mace, and his work is also based on Barbara Brennan. So this, now I've taken what I've studied and what I've learned from these other wonderful teachers and now put it into this system, because I found that it all works together and each piece makes up the complete puzzle. Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, Kathy. And so each piece makes up the complete puzzle. So your secret life code is written before you come. You write it, you pick the moment that you are born, and that gives you your astrology chart. Boom. That is the secret number one, okay? Your birth astrology chart. And then the second part is, as we grow, our chakras develop. So at birth, we have chakra one, that's 0 to 6 months, and then chakra two begins to develop, chakra three, so on and so forth. And by the time we're 12 years old, our chakras are fully developed. And one thing is, like, a baby can't sit up on its own because energetically their chakras are not developed enough yet in order for them to be able to sit or stand. And as they develop, then the baby's spine gets enough strength to sit up. And this is all Eastern medicine, right? So, you know, those of you who are in the West, in the U.S., in Canada, South America, etc., and are not familiar with Eastern medicine and Eastern philosophy, you know, this might be new to you and surprising. Good morning, Guinevere. Good morning, Susan. And so we're talking about chakras. We're talking about your secret life code and how it works, how it all works together. So you come in, you have your birth astrology chart. That gives you the foundation, right? Then you have your chakras, and in each chakra, you have an archetypal energy, or an archetypal sort of assignment, which can change as you continue on through your life. Your family is where your archetypes sort of are formed, your first archetypes. And your understanding of sort of life and how you do life and how your family does life. There's two theories of thought that once you have an archetype in a chakra, it stays there forever. I have a more fluid theory that in your seven physical chakras, your archetypes can change as you progress in your life and as you understand yourself more. So it can be a totally different archetype, or it can be, you know, the archetype itself can evolve. So for you guys who aren't familiar with archetypes, we have an archetypal language, and we also have an archetype is sort of an idea theme. So, like, if you think about a queen. Everybody understands how you have an idea in your mind what you think about a queen, right? How they act, how, etc. You also could think, if you think about another archetype that everybody would be familiar with is one of, we'll say, let's see, it's an old word, but we'll say a hobo, right? So you all know when you hear that word what that means. And so an archetype is sort of an idea of, how can I explain this? It's like an idea of a behavior, sort of the personality. You kind of get that, right? I need to work on a better explanation of what an archetype is. So in each one of our chakras, we have an archetype, and that archetype gives us sort of makes up who we are in a sense. So when we look at Carolyn Mace's work, she bases that her theory is that we have four survival archetypes, and each one of those survival archetypes are located in one of the chakras. As a solid thing in the chakra. So like your astrology chart, her theory is that you say, for example, you have a victim archetype. We all have it. The four survival archetypes are the victim, the child, the prostitute, and the saboteur. In my research and working with so many people, my theory has shifted a little bit. And I believe that each archetype has the four survival archetypes within it. And I know this is like so deep, you guys, right? And I know there are some of my students on in the chat room right now, so I know you guys get it because you're familiar with this. And I know for you newbies, this might seem like a little bit overwhelming. But trust me, it all comes together and it all makes sense once you get the hang of it, okay? So I'll use my example. In my first chakra, I have Matilda the Servant Girl. And Matilda the Servant Girl can go into sabotage, we'll say, when first chakra is all about family, its foundation, it's your material things. So Matilda the Servant Girl can sabotage myself. Good morning, Althea. When she is in defense and she might sabotage, because now we're looking at material things, right? She might sabotage by going on a shopping spree that she doesn't really have the money for. Or she might sabotage by taking on too much, serving too many people or serving people for the wrong reasons. So she sabotages myself. She sabotages Cynthia in the big picture, right? And when she's in defense. Now, when Matilda the Servant Girl is in, when she's not in defense, when she's in her core, Matilda the Servant Girl can set healthy boundaries with family. She can be sensible about material things. When things pop up on the screen, it comes in my head, it goes out of my mouth. The hazard of being live. No editing here. So one of the things Matilda the Servant Girl, when she is in defense, or some people might call it the shadow, Matilda the Servant Girl might hoard things, right? And that could be, she could be in the victim, feeling victimized, right? Where she doesn't have enough or things have been taken away. Or it could be that she's sabotaging herself, right? And so, good morning, Lisa by Grace. So it's so interesting. Good morning, Lorianne. When we understand our archetypes, each archetype in each chakra, when we understand them, we can then look at our choices and our behavior, right? And so when I am feeling sort of when I'm doing things that are out of character or that are defensive or not making good choices, I can then look at my secret life code chart and I can say, okay, which chakra is active right now? Which one am I acting through? And am I in the shadow or defense? You'll hear me use those words interchangeably because they really mean the same thing. Or am I in the light side of that archetype? So again, when Matilda the Servant Girl, remember, she's in my first chakra. So that's about family. That's about foundation. That's about our material things. When she is in the light side of the archetype, she makes good decisions around family. She knows when it's too much to take on, and she can say, oh, I'd really love to help you, but at this time, I have to decline, or I'm choosing to decline, right? Or she'll say something like, this is what my level of help can be, okay? I can help you with a ride to Newport on Monday morning, and then that's all I can help you with for rides this week, okay? So because Matilda the Servant Girl wants to help her family. She wants to help. She's like this do-gooder, right, that wants to do so much. But when she's in defense, in the shadow, she can do too much and take on too much for other people, and then Cynthia's foundation gets rocky. Does that make sense for you guys? You know, just give me a yes or no over there in the chat if that makes sense. Oh, thank you, Susan. So glad you were talking about this. Perfect. Thank you. And so it's really so interesting. And I've been trying to develop a way for people to learn what their archetypes are quicker rather than going through 3 years of healer school like I did. And I've discovered that through meditation is a really good way to discover what your archetypes are. And we also use Carolyn Mace's archetype cards. So now this is the work that you would be doing, if you sign up for my new class that's coming up, Your Secret Life Code. It begins on October 17th, Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is a six-week course. So whether you have taken my previous courses on the archetypes, the guides, and the chakras, you will get benefit from this course because you'll go deeper with what you already know and have. And if you're brand new, you're going to start building your chart, your foundation, your secret life code chart, okay? And the class is $247 for the 6 weeks. And the link is up, but I understand there's some trouble if you're trying to sign up with a credit card rather than just with PayPal. I'm pretty sure it's working with PayPal, but it's not working with a credit card at this moment. So if you need to pay with a credit card, just contact me directly at Cynthia_Fontaine@me.com. And then somebody will help you get that processed. And then, so our talk today is based on this up and coming course that I'm so excited about. I'm really so excited about it. So one other piece of this that I have been working on is how your astrology chart, your birth chart fits in to your secret life code chart. Susan says, archetypes in your classes help me so much. Oh, thank you, Susan. And Susan's going to be on probably, hopefully, and soon, we're looking at December, to talk about 2020 and the astrology coming up in 2020. I lost my chain of thought there. Sorry, guys. So the archetypes and the astrology. So the astrology fits into your secret life code chart. And we have five spiritual chakras or centers, and then we have seven physical chakras or centers. And I've been working with students and clients on how to fit the astrology into the chart. So what I have discovered is that there are certain elements of your chart, your astrology chart, that work into certain chakras of your secret life code chart, okay? And so what you'll find is your big pieces in your astrology chart, say your sun, your moon, your ascendant, your rising sign, your ascendant is your rising sign, midheaven, those are some of the big pieces that fit into your five spiritual centers, your five spiritual chakras. Because those pieces are unbendable and non-negotiable. And those chakras do not change as you grow and develop. You come in with them. So I came in under the sun sign of Virgo. And actually, I should have my chart pulled up here instead of students' or clients' charts. And you guys will all get a blank chart. And then you will be able to fill that chart in as we go along in the class. Let's see. This is not my chart. This is the chart that everybody gets. I need to look for my chart. Okay. So my chart, I should spell it right, so when I'm trying to find it. Okay, all my client charts are coming up except for mine. So funny. And plus, I have so many of them, because as I have developed and sort of changed and understood more of what my archetypes are, my chart has changed along with that. And again, because the five physical chakras, those archetypes can change as you develop in through your life. Okay, so everything is opening except for the one that I want. Aha, here it is. Okay, so in my, let's see, this is actually an old chart. So the sun would be the point in your astrology chart that goes into your soul point in your chakra. So you have a chakra that is your soul point. And your soul point is your individual character. It gives you your deepest quality. It's your true core nature. It's the part of you that you can't change. And it stays the same for every lifetime. So even though you're, because we don't know what astrology we're born under lifetime to lifetime, but it gives you, your archetype gives you the your flavor for lifetime to lifetime. So in my soul point, I have Jimmy Fallon show host, right? It's just Jimmy Fallon, Oprah Winfrey. And so I could not change the way I interact with people if I tried. From lifetime to lifetime, it's been my sort of flavor, what I do is by teaching through entertainment, right? When we look at Oprah, when we look at Jimmy Fallon, you know, Jimmy Fallon is more, of course, you know, entertainment. However, he can be very sort of political, and he does talk about important things, right? But he does it with humor. And when we look at Oprah, we all know Oprah, right? She's the bomb. She just is who she is. And she is a guiding light to help people find their way in their life and in their world. Okay. So my show host is in my sun point, in my chakra, in my soul point, sorry. And so that can give me a lot of information about myself. So when I was born, I chose this family who would squash my light, who would squash my soul, my soul point, squash my show host. I grew up in a family that where I wasn't seen, heard, or acknowledged. So, and think about how this might apply to your life. You may not have a show host, but think about who you are now, who you want to become, who you really feel you are on a deep level, and how your family either squashed it or they celebrated it and helped you grow into that, right? And because every charismatic leader, and that is a profiling, Reese Thomas's profiling system, which I am a certified master in the profile. Every charismatic leader has a sort of has a flair for being in the public. Okay, and every actor is a charismatic leader, but they will act through their secondary profile. And profile is a part of this upcoming course, but it's going to be a little bit of a smaller part of it, because that we'll talk about more when we get into the second part of the class, which will be coming next year in January. And that's what our soul family can do. Yes, so our soul family can see us, or they can not see us, right? They can squash us. And it's our job or our mission to learn who we are meant to be in this lifetime, who we are becoming, right? And most people don't start sort of reaching for who a lifetime where they want more until they hit their midlife crisis or midlife calling. And good morning, Sherry. Your midlife calling can happen anytime, you know, from 35 and up. Some people hit it younger, but most people don't hit it until they reach their 50s, and then they have their midlife calling or crisis, as most people call it, because it's their life calling to them now. It's their soul stirring. It's those parts of you that you came in with that are really waking up, that are saying, okay, look, you've had all this life experience now. You got wounded perfectly by your crazy family, or you, you know, your family supported you, but yet you're in the wrong kind of job. And so now we're going to wake you up we're going to give you a crisis. We're going to give you a health challenge. We're going to give you a divorce. We're going to give you an unexpected job change, right? We're going to give you a pregnancy at 45. There's all kinds of crazy life changes that can happen, right? To put you into your midlife calling, okay? When we recognize it as a calling rather than a crisis, then we can work with it in a really positive way. Does that make sense, you guys? Right? Let's see. Susan says, not our birth family necessarily. Yeah, so typically it's our birth family that wounds us, or the family that you're adopted into, right? So if you're adopted, your first big wound will be abandonment. And that will be the wound that's important for you to work with to heal. Okay. And so the things that happen to us between zero, before we're born, even in utero, to the time we are, say, five, even up to nine, is really what cements in our life's lessons. And how we can then take those wounds and work with them in a positive way to transform ourselves. Because it's the wounding that gives us the direction we should be going in. Isn't that cool, right? So wounding is great. Everybody says, oh, I was so wounded as a child. Trust me, look, I have compassion and sympathy for people who have difficult lives and difficult childhoods. You guys know that because I had a crazy childhood and I had a crazy lifetime up until, you know, now, where it's, you know, been filled with abuse and all sorts of crazy stuff. And here I am, right? Because I've been able to look at those things. I've been able to understand that all the things that happened to me were not because anything was wrong with me or I was broken, but I could now take those things and turn them to my benefit, and I can now use those things that happened and help other people and understand myself so that I have a clear picture of co-creating my forward life, right? And understand when I'm sabotaging, why I'm sabotaging, or I'm feeling I'm in the victim mode, right? So how many people feel like you are sometimes victimized, okay? And so my own example, you guys, if you've tuned in before, you've heard me say that when I moved a couple months ago, the movers stole all my jewelry. And, you know, a lot of it, I can never replace my class ring from high school that my grandmother bought me. You know, I can't replace that. And so I could stay in feeling victimized and, you know, then go into sort of patterns that are negative that are related to the victim. Or I can say, oh my God, I can't, you know, this did happen to me, but it doesn't it doesn't mean that's who I am, right? So it yes, it's true that it happened, right? And now what am I going to do about it? So, you know, I contacted the mover. I wrote bad reviews on Yelp and any place that they had, any place they were listed to let people know, hey, buyer beware, these guys steal things, okay? And so that empowers where I might be feeling victimized. And because it's material things, again, this could be first chakra. So Matilda, the servant girl who serves everyone else, now was so victimized because these people stole her material things, right? That's the shadow. But yet, when she turns into the light side of it, she can now become sort of an activist in a sense, right? And now she's not victimized any longer. Does that make sense for you guys? I know this can be really a little bit complicated. So I hope that's making sense for you guys out there. And okay. So funny. I just went totally blank. Normally when that happens, it's because my guides are getting ready to drop something in. Lisa by Grace, are you looking at me? I don't know, Lisa by Grace, are you looking at you? Does this seem to resonate with you? Yeah, okay. All right, my computer is making a really loud sound, like staticky sound. I think the fan is not working. So I hope that's not distracting for you guys, because it is a wee tiny bit distracting for me. Okay, so my guides are saying pull a card, and that's what I was waiting for, because typically when I go blank like that, it's because my guides are getting ready to drop something in. Lisa by Grace says, I thought you were pointing at my victim. Yeah, so maybe you have a victim in your So I want to reframe that, because, again, I believe that each of our seven physical chakras have embodied all four of the survival archetypes. So Matilda, if she went into her child, now I have a magical child. I have magical thinking. So if she went into her child in the first chakra, say, well, and we'll use the jewelry as an example, then she might have a temper tantrum, right? She might whine and cry and complain to everybody. And guess what? I did that. And what did it get me? Nothing. All it got me was, yes, people heard me. People listened to me. Matilda, as the child, felt better because she couldn't believe that anybody would do that, right? Because here she is, worked so hard, and et cetera, et cetera. So as the child, the magical child, that might be how in the shadow she would react. Okay, Matilda, the victim, would, again, sort of be similar, where she would feel victimized, and she would maybe, and feeling victimized, now keep everything under lock and key and never trust people again. That could be Matilda, the victim. We've already talked about how she could sabotage, and then how could she prostitute? So Matilda, the servant girl, might prostitute in a way that now... maybe card just fell out of the deck, truth be told. So this is awesome, right? Because the truth is being told right now. I love it. So this is my guide's way of saying, you are right on track, right? This is a higher truth and understanding in universal understandings, okay? We have universal laws, and my guides are just saying, yep, this is the truth being told. That is so cool. Okay, so Matilda in as a prostitute, now may, let me think, what would she do if she were prostituting herself in the first chakra? Oh, so she might do anything now to get money or to replace her, her stolen jewelry, and maybe things, she might do things that aren't, you know, the best for her. She might make bad choices, like meeting people in the dark to buy a piece of jewelry that's cheap off the internet that you can't believe the price, or, kind of thing. So that may be a way that she could possibly prostitute herself, right? Or she might work for less money than her value to then try to replace some of her things. So if she were to work at full value and then go out and look for new things, new jewelry that she really loves, rather than feeling victimized and wanting to replace exactly what she had, kind of thing, she could then go out and sort of sell herself in a way that is healthy, okay? Because, again, first chakra is about material things. And all the chakras work together. So I said or talked about earlier how when a baby's chakras develop, that's when they can sit upright, and then they can eventually stand, because their chakras are developing and they are strengthening their kundalini, right? Which is the kundalini energy runs up your spine. So I like to use the cerebral spinal fluid sort of as a visual, because people get visuals. So you have, we'll say, like a, if you were to wrap your spine in a tube, like in a big straw, and then fill it with fluid, right? That's your cerebral spinal fluid. And as your chakras develop, each chakra connects into the hara line. And again, I use the cerebral spinal fluid as the visual. So it connects into that tube. And as they develop, they strengthen, they connect into the tube, and then you're able to sit as a baby and then stand, because your chakras are then developing and opening. So that's really interesting when we look at Eastern medicine and Eastern thought, how that really works, and it makes perfect sense. What I find even more interesting now is we see these kids, these babies who are being born. And, the average baby walked generally between like 12 and 14 months. So when maybe I was growing, when I was a baby growing up. And then even with like my son's age people, right? So like people that are 35 to maybe even 45, that was sort of kind of the average where babies walked about at a year old. Now we're seeing babies, lots of them walking at 10 months old. And my daughter walked at 10 months old. And we see babies walking earlier, talking earlier. We see these kids who are brilliant, who are playing the piano like Jerry Lee Lewis at 4 years old, or playing the drums, like the best 70-year-old drummer in the world at 4, 5, 6 years old. And so their chakras are developing faster, because these kids are coming in who have had many lifetimes already, and they have a subconscious knowing of what their life purpose is, right? And they've chosen these families who help them to develop, right, who they're supposed to be in this lifetime. Okay. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me? All right. All right, so yeah, right. My guides wanted to pull. Let's see. Do they still need a card? Want a card? Yes. Funny. So this card just came out. Interesting. So yin in protection. So yin is all about. It's about the feminine. It's about reception and being receptive and allowing things to come to you rather than forcing things. So it's really interesting. When it's in protection, it's asking for you to ask yourself, do you have trouble receiving, right? It's always give, 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 give. Because when we are constantly giving out, so now let's go back to the archetype. Let's go back to Matilda the servant girl in the first chakra. When Matilda the servant girl is always giving, 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 then she doesn't have the time or space or energy to receive. And there has to be balance, because when we give too much, we become burnt out, and then we just oftentimes will shut down completely and say, I'm not giving anymore. I'm not doing anything else. Okay? So it's about being an open vessel. It's about being a student and being receptive. And this message is for everybody who, whether you're tuning in live now or you listen or watch later, it's about being receptive and asking yourself, am I giving too much in any particular area? Or am I giving from the shadow side of an archetype? Or am I giving out of my prostituting myself, right? So with my family, I'm giving, giving, giving. And why am I doing that? Why am I prostituting myself by giving too much? Is it because I am expecting that miraculously people are going to change and take care of themselves? Am I expecting a pat on the back? So these are all questions that you can ask yourself, okay? In order to really have an abundant life, there has to be equal. It has to be equal and balanced. Give and take. So you can't always give, 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 and then not receive. And how many times have you had an opportunity to receive and you've rejected it, right? How many times in your life have people tried to give to you or tried to help you offer things? I have an example where I have a friend who just moved last weekend. And she moved a 4-bedroom house. Her husband passed away 2 years ago. And the people who were supposed to move her bailed out the day before she was moving. And our collective of friends, this group of friends that we have with this one friend, we all offered to help her. And she refused all of our help. You know, now if there were, say, 10 of us who pitched in, and if we all took 5 or 10 boxes apiece, that adds up to a lot of boxes, right? But she refused our help from everybody. She's proud. She's a giver. She gives and gives and gives, but it's so hard for her to receive. So there has to be balance. And if you don't have that balance in your life, then you become burnt out. And, you know, I know we're only talking about one chakra right now and one archetype, but this is when you start thinking about your life on these, in this level and in this language, you will start to uncover your secret life code. And then you can understand why you're doing things quicker and sort of self-correct, auto-correct, right? Okay, so my guys are saying, we need a crystal card. So I'm using, I always use Colette Baron Reed's Oracle deck. I have studied with Colette for well over 10 years. I don't know, we're at 15 or something plus, something like that. And I've done all, you know, taken all her classes. I am certified in her vision process. I'm a certified oracle guide. And anyway, I love Colette's decks because they are so fluid and they work so well. And so one of the pieces that we'll be using in the class is we will be using oracle cards. Not only will we be using Carolyn Mace's archetype cards to help you discover which archetype you have in each chakra. We'll also be using Colette Baron Reed's Oracle deck as well. So this is her latest deck, and it's the Crystal Spirit deck, and I am in love with this deck. It started talking to me right away, and I have it right on my desk because it's just, it wants to be out, and it wants to be heard and seen and played with. So I'm going to ask the Crystal Spirit deck, what message does it want to share with all of us today? And this is, let's see. Oh, selenite. I have selenite all around my house. I love selenite. Selenite is the one crystal that you never have to clear because it's a crystal that clears everything else, but it does not pick up it picks up the energy from other crystals and from it will clear you as well, but it doesn't hold on to it. So it's like a cat, right? So, I do animal communication and animal healings as well. And cats are one animal who can help us with illnesses that we have, right? And science has shown that the purr of a cat, what it resonates at, the megahertz or whatever you call it, actually is a healing vibration. So cats can help us with our physical problems, but they don't take them on. They can just take them on and get rid of them, right? Dogs, however, when they are helping their human with a physical problem, you will very often see a high percentage that when somebody has a physical ailment, their dog will have a similar or the same physical ailment because the dog can still take it on to help their human, but then they can't get rid of it. And so selenite is like a cat. It takes it on and then it just gets rid of it. It doesn't keep it. It's also about being fluid, being flexible. It's about clarity. It's about raising your vibration, right? And these are all things that fit into learning about who you are and your secret life code. So there's, there's lots of classes out there and there's lots of things for people to choose from. And the understanding who you are, right? So one thing I want to talk about also mention is that how many of you guys have done like a weekend workshop where a life-changing workshop, you've gone to this big event, this 3-day event, you come home, you're all fired up, you're all jazzed up, you're going to change your life, you're going to make different choices, your chakras feel activated, and then 2 or 3 months later, you're back into the same old pattern. Why that happens is because you don't really know who you are. You don't know your secret life code. You don't know when you're in defense and which archetype, which chakra is in defense. You cannot break a pattern quicker than you made the pattern, in a sense, right? Good morning, Errol Star Francis. So happy to see you here. Oh my God, we're out of time on the Blog Talk Radio, the studio. And I totally wasn't watching the clock over there. I apologize, you guys, in the studio over there. But if you guys want to hang out, you can still stay on, even though it will end live streaming on Blog Talk. The show will still stay open, and you guys can stay and hang out. And I will grab a caller or two after the radio goes off the air. So for you guys who are over on the Blog Talk Studio, check me out at CynthiaFontaine.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm not so good about posting on Instagram, though, I have to say. I need to get better for that. Actually, I need an assistant. So if that's something you specialize in, message me. All right. So again, check me out, CynthiaFontaine.com, on Facebook, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium. If you are interested in what we're talking about today, you can go to my Facebook page, find the link to sign up for my new class. All right, you guys, over there signing off on Blog Talk. But again, you guys can stay and hang out after we go off the air, which is now. Okay, so I'm off the air live on Blog Talk, but I'm going to take a caller or two over there. Okay, so let's see. Hey, just tuning in, Errol Star Francis. Lisa by Grace says, your class is pretty darn unique and it sounds awesome. Yeah, so Lisa by Grace was in my last class in the spring. And she jumped in the middle of it, and it was really great having her there as well. There's a whole bunch of people in the thread that were in the class. Okay, so I'm going to the Blog Talk phone lines, and this is area code 347, last four digits, 6016. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Cynthia. Hi, who's this, please?
Hi, my name's Tanika.
Hi, Tamika. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Good. What can I do for you today?
I wanted you to take a look at love and relationship between me and another individual.
Love and relationship between you and another individual. Okay. So I have to shift gears for that because when I'm in the teaching mode, I'm on the teaching. I'm in the teaching code. So I have to shift into a different room now, metaphorically in my mind. Okay, so let's see, between you and another individual. Who's the name with the letter T around you?
T, well, my name starts with a T, and my sister's, two other sisters' names starts with a T.
Two other sisters, okay. So they're showing me TM, which I don't know if that's like first name, last name, first name, middle initial, or if it's, you know, T and M in the name.
My sister.
Your sister. Okay. Mm. Your younger sister. Okay. So when my guides start dropping in name codes, there's something important that is going on in that relationship now. So very interesting that as they started dropping in your sister, the card fell out of the deck, to be fair. So let me ask you, with that relationship, is there something going on right now that needs to be looked at or addressed?
No, I'm very close with her. I'm very protective of her. I talk to her almost every day. I love her. I love her cat. Right now she's visiting another city on vacation, so she's sending me pictures. But we're very close, so next time I talk to her, I'll ask her if everything's okay.
Okay, great. So, card could also mean that it is a balanced relationship as well, right? Because you can't see on the radio, but people in the live studio can see that the woman in the card is holding a scale and it's perfectly balanced. So it could be that my guides are just chiming in saying, oh, what a beautifully balanced relationship, okay? And so this is like detective work. That's why I like it so much, because it's fun, it's interesting, and every single question and client is different. So now when I ask what information can they share with us about the current relationship that your query is about, let's see what they want to share about that. And they're giving me the number 2. So is this relationship 2 weeks or 2 months old?
No, we've been seeing each other since last October. And since then, right now, we're not. And I'm just wondering, how he feels and if we'll get back together. I can tell you his name and if you want.
Okay, so has it been 2 weeks or 2 months that you guys have been broken up?
I guess you could say.
Okay, because when they start dropping numbers in, it's important into relationship to the question. So
yeah.
Let's look at what Spirit wants to share with you or let you know about this relationship. And what's his first name?
Frank.
Frank, okay. So interesting. So round and round in protection. It's like that when I see that card, it makes me feel like, oh boy, here we go again. Right? And I feel like so you got two cards. You got blessed and round and round again. Round and round in protection. So I feel like with Frank that it's a blessing that you have this break because things are just going to go round and round and around with this guy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like the same issues over and over again. And for you, if you can learn and understand why you attract this type of man, when you look at this relationship with him, you will then be able to sort of fix your relationship stuff and you'll get a really good guy. I feel like he's not the first. He won't be the last. I feel like that if you don't really dive in to see how you get into relationships, how you interact once you're in a relationship, then you're going to repeat this pattern again, just with a different guy. But if you can really sort of pick apart the relationship, you're part of it. When I say pick apart, I don't mean criticize the other person. I mean, take the things from the relationship, because every relationship in our life gives us all the work that we ever need to work on ourselves. When we're, feeling victimized, when we're aggravated, when we feel like we're not getting enough or we're not enough, we have to look within and say, okay, I feel like that I'm not getting enough out of this relationship. So then you ask, well, am I giving enough in this relationship? If that answer is yes, then you ask, well, am I able to receive in this relationship what the other person is trying to give me? And then, so it's a little bit of detective work about yourself, okay? So if you can reflect on some big questions like that, when you reflect back onto this relationship with Frank, you'll start to uncover patterns that were set, they're saying, when you were a child. They're going back to like when you were about 4 years old. Were your parents not together, or did they divorce or something around that age?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this goes back to when you were that four-year-old child, the fear that somebody's always going to leave you. You're not enough. The man in your life is going to walk out. He's going to leave you. Okay. So that's the wound that you want to look at and you want to heal, is that child who felt abandoned. Right. So then you can work with your inner child and you can have a dialogue with that inner child. Right. So you can say to Mika, the four-year-old, you can even set a chair across from you, and you can, in your mind's eye, imagine that yourself as a four-year-old is sitting in that chair, and you can have a conversation with your four-year-old self and say, oh, I know it was so hard, honey, and it was scary, but, you know, I've been here for you all this time, and I've never left you, and I'll never leave you, right? Because the child within yourself can hear that and can understand that and feels more secure when you can talk to it in that way. And I feel like that there's a fine line between people that have multiple personality disorders, and people who understand their child and, you know, their archetypes that they're working through and so forth. I think people that have multiple personality disorder just can't put the filter up between their archetypal code and their chakras. So anyway, I hope that helps. When you can heal that wound, that's when things really come together for you. Now, what's the number 33 significant of with you?
I'm born on a 3-day. I don't remember what happened to me when I was 33. He's not 33. He's born in 76. I'm born in 78. So I can't really put a finger on what 33 would mean, but threes,
okay.
I think, are part of my personality, like, because I know I'm created because of my three, and I'm born
okay.
in a 3-day.
Okay.
He's born in a 10-day, though.
So there's not a 10-day. So a 10-day would be a 1. So a 1 personality is...
that's my life path. And he's
your life
born
path?
In 1 day. Yeah, my life path is 1. I'm born in 3 day. And he's a 1 day.
Okay, so 1 is about leadership. You know, it's about solo. It's about, you know, individual. It's about leadership. And then, you know, the 3, I like the 3 when you turn it sideways because then you've got the 2 humps, right? And it, you know, it's more stable than a 1. A 1 is like a stick in the ground. A 3 is more, I feel it's sometimes more stable. Not to say, you know, there are amazing life path 1 people because we need amazing leaders. But when the leader is in the shadow, as we see in politics now in our country, then we see leadership that, you know, can be aggressive and maybe not the best and highest good for the overall people. And so, you know, when we see the defensive side of leadership, it's not a positive thing. Okay. But then when we see the light side of leadership, like John F. Kennedy or Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, you know, the Dalai Lama, they're all sort of enlightened leaders. Okay. So I would be more concerned, not so much with his life path number at this point. I really, for you, your prescription is that you need to take a look within and those traumas that have created this sense of abandonment with you. And so you pick guys that abandon you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And when you heal that, then it will be no more. You will never have a man that abandons you again. So you have to heal that first. And so if you're 39 now, you want to spend some time reflecting on back when you were 33?
No, I'm not 39.
Oh, how old are you? Sorry.
41.
Oh, 41. Sorry, I did the math wrong. So at 41, but you want to go back to when you were 33 and do some reflecting on what was going on in your life then in relationships, because there's a connection from not only that 4-year-old, but also your 33-year-old self and whatever was going on with relationships then.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, honey, I hope that helped, and I wish you the best, and keep progressing forward and figure out what your secret life code is. When we know what our wounds are, we know how to heal it. And then we can have a beautifully inspired life.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Tamika. All right. Take good care, honey.
Thanks. You too.
You're welcome. I love that. How cool is that, you guys, right? Okay. So I'm trying to close Tamika's microphone, but it's not cooperating. All right. Let's see. I don't know how to make this work. I've been having trouble with Blog Talk, and I don't know why, but it's been problematic. Okay, there we go. No, still can't close it. All right, there we go. Okay, you guys. All right, so I think I'm gonna be ready.